This is the Day Zero update for June 11th, 2017, again. I am Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we're back, most of us anyway. We've just gone through the Microsoft E3 briefing. We have thoughts.
Good year for Microsoft.
Yeah, I'd say it's safe to say they pretty much crushed it this year.
Yeah.
That
maybe too early to say they won E3, but they definitely made some important statements.
Yeah, well, they certainly swung for the fences early and often. And
well, they had to.
Yeah. They opened up with revealing the Xbox One X, which I should point out, if you were listening to the Day Zero update a few months ago, I speculated that's what the name would be. I was right.
You should listen to us more.
Yes.
Yeah, there's dumb names going around like Xbox 10. No, that's the dumbest thing to do. And like,
yeah.
Xbox Scorpio, I think, was easily fake.
Yeah. You wouldn't call it Scorpio. You wouldn't really shouldn't name anything after a zodiac sign because not everybody observes it. secondly, in certain areas of the world, that's considered bad luck.
Yeah.
That was a non-starter.
I call it a Simpsons console.
Well, maybe that could be the Japanese name for it then.
It's like, the Xbox One, bad luck. So they spent about 10 minutes talking about that. Which I think was just about right. They ran through the specs. They showed the console, showed some of its design cues, which is really not all that different to the Xbox One anyway.
I was actually shocked that it's the smallest Xbox, though.
Yeah, it's smaller
than the S.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And the shape kind of reminded me of the original PS2, but without the ridges on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a top part that's bigger than the bottom part.
Yeah. I like
but
it.
But the disk drive
like
is on the bottom part, from what I saw.
Yeah. It's still a slot loader, so.
Yeah. Did you catch the specs on the Blu-ray drive?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, Sony. Make a PS4 Pro and don't put a 4K Blu-ray drive in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even the Xbox One S has that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've discussed, at length why Sony did that. It's basically about compatibility with PS4 games. They don't want to segregate things too much. So, whatever. So if you want 4K streaming on the PS4 Pro, it's pretty much your only option. But yeah, so that was the first reveal. Then they brought in...
they got a date then.
Oh, yeah, the 7th of November. And a price, too.
11/7/17.
Yeah.
I'm liking the alliteration, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, so it wasn't as good as the Skyrim launch, but, you can't really... That only comes around every once century anyway, so...
Yeah.
That was 11/11/11. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. And the price, of course, is a point of contention for a lot of people.
Especially up north.
Yeah. $400, at least $400, $500 US for the Xbox One X, which is, I should point out, the exact same price as the original Xbox One launched at. Yeah. So I'm not really too mad about that. That's pretty much the price I expected it to be. It is a premium console. You expect a premium price for it.
If you have any problems with the price of the Xbox One X, you are not its target audience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's still less than buying a GTX 1080 for your PC. So
it's less than buying a smartphone. Well, flagship smartphone.
Well, yeah. So of course, up here it's $600.
I
want to say it's $650 in Australia.
Yeah, $650 in Australia. The exchange rate, the way it is right now, actually, that's not too awfully bad. The exchange rate is basically right now $1 US is about 75 cents Canadian.
Hmm.
No, wait.
So they kind of did you a solid.
Well, it's the other way around. One Canadian dollar is 75 cents U.S.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Well, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. So basically, it would be, if it were $500 U.S., it would probably have ended up being something like what?
$650.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of a savings there. So, yeah, I won't be getting it at launch. Not likely anyway, but one will find its way into my home at some point.
You will be issued one.
Yes. So we got a lot of games, too, to talk about, because Microsoft wasn't screwing around.
No, they weren't.
I don't think they could afford to screw around.
Nope.
Honestly.
42 games. We're not going to talk about every single one of them, because we don't want to run the same length that their press conference ran. Yeah. An hour and 45 minutes they went.
Yeah, we got Bethesda later. We have to save our energy.
Yeah. So we started off with Forza Motorsport 7, which it was completely expected.
Yeah. So what did you guys think about the car? I was kind of like,
Debuting a car at an E3 and having it there as part of the presentation, not new for them.
Yeah, it's very turn 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, though this time it did, to do. It didn't lower out of the ceiling, so... I'm docking points off for that. They just pulled a sheet off of it.
Yeah.
You know, but that sheet pull was done very well.
Yeah. The sheet pull was done very well.
As you judge sheet pulls, I suppose.
I don't know. I need some stacked silverware on top to judge it.
It's totally not what I thought you were going to say.
Okay. So there wasn't really anything to... extraordinary about Forza Motorsport 7. It looks better than Forza 6 did. It's going to have
the tires around. They're pretty well round.
Yeah, but they've been round for several years now, so it's not really a new feature.
They get more round with each new bit of hardware.
Yeah. Now they're going to be round in 4K, so that's going to be something to look forward to.
I think we got to stop talking about the roundness of tires, or we're going to let it become the new water effect.
Yeah. No, speaking of water effects, it did have that dynamic puddles instead of the pre-baked ones.
More at the Nürburgring.
Yeah, that looked scary, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to actually playing through that.
Yeah. It's like
I'm sure there will be an event.
Yeah, there will be. Forza 6 did have rain effects, but they were all pre-baked, so there wasn't really any dynamism in there. So we'll have to wait. And well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also looking forward to seeing what the differences are between base Xbox and Xbox One X. I'd imagine with Microsoft's mandate that the game experience should be the same across both platforms, I don't think they're going to be stripping features. So it's just going to be a matter of, the Xbox One X will look better.
Well, I think they're walking a very fine line just having the Xbox One X be a thing at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's got to be some kind of feature parity going on.
Yeah. Again, Sony's walking that line too, so... this is the world we live in at this point.
Yeah. That's out October 3rd.
Yeah. So.
Oh, a week before my birthday.
Yeah. So I mean,
just saying.
Pick that one up there for Pat's birthday. And then we saw Assassin's Creed Origin, the long-awaited, I guess, return of the Assassin's Creed series. I do have to say, I think the 2-year hiatus has probably done the series good. Visually, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I really dug the Eagle Vision, which was, the drone from Wildlands, as Chris had mentioned in the chat that we were talking about.
This is the Ubisoft creep
slipping
into other games. We gotta have the drone that scouts ahead for you and marks enemies.
Yeah.
Even if it's ancient Egypt.
Yeah. In context, though, with the Assassin's Creed universe and the fact that there already was a feature called Eagle Vision, this makes sense.
Yeah, that was very different.
Yeah.
Let's just turn everything dark, and whatever is light is something you should look at.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I'm not going to be complaining about any game that wants to use more Eagles. Besides, they really need to get their money's worth out of that model anyway. So,
yeah. Eagle well, Flight didn't do too well for them.
Yeah, so may as well put that model into everything that they can. So, yeah, it looked good. Combat looked a little bit better than previous ones. It was quicker. Still looked a little bit chunky in spots. But not all that bad, really.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing it just for the setting alone, because
A lot of Z-targeting style combat.
Yeah. And ancient Egypt, you so you've got pyramid parkour, which is always something to look forward to.
Yeah, at first I thought that it was the Magic the Gathering RPG that we talked about on the last show this afternoon.
Yeah.
Because I saw that Egyptian motif and thought that we were looking at Amaket. So that would have been cool, too.
Yeah.
It's definitely a setting that's overdue for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. And it pretty much goes to, well, its origins, so that's like where it started, I would imagine.
Yeah. So. And it looks like they're heavily borrowed from stuff like Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
As far as having like this exploration bonuses and very much like a bow focus on the combat.
Yeah.
At least for the stealth stuff. And a lot of XP stuff and like quest markers. Or stuff that was kind of there, but seems like they've taken a shine to that stuff and made it like other games instead of just, hey, this is what Assassin's Creed does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a polishing of the formula, and I think it's probably going to work really well. I just hope it doesn't get, you know, too lost in its own, objectives, because, Assassin's Creed tend to has like 4 billion things on the map that you have to go after if you feel like it.
Watching recent E3 press conferences, they've actually shown in the trailers, like let's look at the mini map, and just boom, here's all these icons just show up.
Didn't see much of that this time, so
Not yet, at least.
And as far as it being the origin story, they actually said as much in the trailer that these are the first people to call themselves assassins, so there it is right there.
Yep.
Yeah, can't go further back than this. That's the new thing.
Yeah, they're not sticking.
Because the past games have always kind of been somewhat reality historical based.
Yeah.
Not this time.
Nope. So, yeah, it looks good. And I'm looking forward to trying it. And that's strange for me.
And there's loot for you, Phil.
Yeah, it's got loot. So that's another thing to get into. And next we had PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Big game on PC, 100-man, last-man-standing type first-person shooter game, which is, if you've never watched anybody stream this thing, it is hilarious. I haven't actually gotten to sit down and play it myself, but some crazy shit ends up happening in this game, so... now it's coming to the Xbox One, and later
it's
on this
Xbox
year.
Xbox One console launch exclusive. It's a phrase they said a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense if you break it down word by word.
Yeah. Console exclusive to Xbox One.
Yeah. So it's going to PC as well.
It's already on PC.
Launch exclusive means that it's only on Xbox One
Sony
as a console at launch.
Yeah, 2018 for Sony. By then, it's probably will have run its course, so...
Yeah, I saw trolls trying to say, oh, this was a press conference to announce what's coming out 6 months later on PS4.
Yeah, screw those people. And what do we have? A Minecraft cross-platform and 4K announcement.
Yeah.
This was actually big, because this has kind of been in the works for a long time. If you've known the mobile versions of Minecraft, have basically been kind of a subset of the features that the PC version had.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really have any of the modding stuff, so it was just basically putter around.
It was vanilla Minecraft.
Yeah. Well, now this pretty much brings everything together. The mobile versions, the console versions, and the PC versions will all have parity. yeah, that's huge. Because, yeah, they'll all actually be able to play with each other cross-device, cross-platform. Yep. Microsoft knows their infrastructure, so I'd expect this to actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. For the people that really like Minecraft, this is actually huge, because now there's no separation between platforms anymore. You're not, if you're playing on your Android phone, you can have the same experience as somebody playing on the PC. That's massive.
It's really incredible.
I've never been a Minecraft guy, but I definitely understand its significance. This is huge.
Yep. It's very, very huge.
There are a few platforms breaking
down one of the great barriers in gaming.
Yeah, there are a few platforms not coming.
PS4, PS3, Vita, and Wii U. I'll get left behind.
Yeah.
That answers a question we were asking before the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured the Sony platforms would not be coming along because... Good. Yeah, and the Wii U version, well, yeah.
And the other part is, if you own DLC on one of the platforms that's supported on this whole thing, you get it for free on the others.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work necessarily with the other sort of storefronts.
Well, it's all Microsoft like account Nintendo. Now.
Yeah.
So they're all doing that in-game then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Microsoft took all of that in internally. So now they can handle all of the DLC, all the updates.
Yeah, I guess there is no DLC on eShop yet.
Nope.
On the Switch.
But now there can be. So that's cool. The other Minecraft bit of news was, of course, the 4K update. So now it's got lighting and...
My God, that was gorgeous.
The Super Duper Graphics Pack.
Yeah.
They really need to give it a new name.
Yeah.
No. Those mod packs and texture packs, they have the craziest shit names. That one's perfect for this.
Yep.
It's perfect for the audience.
Yeah.
I just cringed.
Yeah. You're not
playing into the silly factor of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the blocks are all detailed now.
Better together update.
Yeah. It's all detailed. It's all nice looking. And
you get dynamic shadows, lighting it streams through fog, movement in leaves and grass, new textures, directional lighting, edge highlighting, and more. That's Xbox One, Windows 10, and the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. But, yeah, that looked really cool. That's a big announcement for Microsoft. I think people are going to downplay that, but that's massive.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see.
Well, just the amount of effort that must have gone into it.
Yeah. It's, that's a lot of work.
Unifying one of the biggest online games going.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. We're going to talk about stuff that, another thing that's a lot of work, a little bit later. Before we get there, though, we got Dragon Ball Z. This is the Red Team developed 2D fighter.
For those unfamiliar with Team Red, these are the Guilty Gear developers.
Mm-hmm.
This is Daisuke Shuatari's personal studio, so having him get a hold of the Dragon Ball Z license is going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. It looked... it looked gorgeous. Let's just put it that way. It looked pretty close to what you'd expect to see in the show. Only, higher res and insane. So, I expect that this will probably get a pretty big audience. And if it's knowing Arc System works, it's going to be hella deep to get into. Which is something that
all of the
DBZ
systems.
Games have lacked. So,
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they do story-wise for that.
Yeah.
They could just
fall into Dragon Ball Super.
They could.
Yeah.
Mm. But, yeah.
Especially considering how recent events in that show have just completely re-energized the fan base.
Yeah.
And this has 3v3 combats.
Yeah.
Battles. So that'll be interesting to see.
It's Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as Marvel is getting away from 3v3, you got DBZ going into it. So that's actually
That's good. It'll keep that format alive.
Yeah, keep that format alive and, give the people who might be disenchanted with MVC Infinite a place to go. So Provided it and plays honestly, as ridiculously as UMVC 3 did.
And honestly, that format will lend itself really well to the current storyline going on in DBZ or DB Super right now.
Yeah.
Because so. It's basically a multi-universal tournament arc.
Yep.
So, right there.
Yeah, and just mash all of the things together and you get that. So, DBZ, and then we saw that. And then I asked earlier where the hell, well, I didn't put it that diplomatically, Crackdown 3 was. Yeah, we found out.
You got an answer.
It's here. It's coming out later this year, and it looks amazing. Yeah.
It's got Terry Crews.
Yeah, it's got Terry Crews. So,
I don't know if he's playing the narrator. Like
oh, God, I hope so, because that was amazing.
Yeah. They named his character, but we have no clue what context that is.
Yeah. If he's just trailer guy or if he's the guy you're reporting to, because that would be amazing.
He just occasionally gets picture-in-picture footage of him shaking his pecs.
Yeah. But, yeah, it looked good. I see that the time in development has done the game quite a bit of good. I look forward to throwing cars at gangsters later this year. Because, and hunting for orbs. They'd better still do that because that was very compelling.
Yeah, they didn't show orbs, did they?
Yeah, they didn't show one orb.
Just explosions.
Yep, lots of things blown up.
It's the wrong
order
that's supposed to go. Well,
let's be fair, that's what a lot of people come to E3 to see.
Yeah. there will be orbs. If there are no orbs, it will not be a Crackdown game, and then I will be sad. So, don't make me sad.
Yeah, I guess Terry Crews is the commander. His character is Commander Jackson. J-A-X-O-N.
Jackson. Nice. Yep. Yeah, that game just looks awesome. Lee has a similar opinion, so... unfortunately, you couldn't be here with us to express that opinion today. And then what did we see? Sea of Thieves is another good one saw more of.
It looked good.
Yeah, some four-player pirate action, PvW. So, I guess PvE if you really want to make it in MMO terms. There was some treasure hunting going on, escaping from traps, storms, cannons going off.
Getaway drivers.
Yeah,
being getaway drivers. Being shot out of
cannons? Yes, for some reason.
Yeah, that looks like a really kind of visceral mechanic, like, oh shit, I'm not going to make it. Oh shit, I'm going to make it.
It's like you don't know what's worse until it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, having played it in the alpha, and I think I'm NDA'd from really giving any specifics, but I will say that's a very idealized version of what that game is.
Yeah.
What I've been playing is very bare bones. And so jumping in random crews, it's a very mixed bag in terms of what you get out of it.
Okay.
So that's going to be very much dependent on the group.
Yeah.
So I found my favorite thing to do is just play that little whatever the instrument is that they have on that ship. It's like an item in your little wheel of items that you can use. So I just sit there and play music or just riding around on the waves at night. That's sort of a fun thing to do. But yeah, that's kind of about as much as I can say, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
It's kind of the sort of game you get out of it what you put in.
Yeah, and it also depends on who you're playing with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it depends on what the entire group puts in as well.
And that kind of came across in the trailer, too.
Yeah. If you're playing with people that you know, then you're probably going to have a lot more fun with it.
Yeah.
So
I think the overarching theme of this conference was fuck playing with randos.
Yeah, I get that sense. So next up, we saw Super Lucky's Tales, looking like a update or maybe a new game in the Lucky's Tales series.
It came out of obscurity on the Oculus and is getting a new lease on life on the Xbox One.
Yep.
And it looks completely deserving of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was great on the Oculus, and well, now more people are going to get to play it because it doesn't require virtual reality to play. So, yeah, looks good. I want to play it. It's definitely the kind of game that I would get into. So,
yeah,
looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's out the same day as Crackdown 3.
Yeah, so a lot of good games coming out of that at that time.
That's also when
Xbox
One X launches as well, so there's a lot of money you could be sinking on that day.
Oh, God. don't remind me. Yeah. And then,
it got ugly.
Yeah. Well, we saw Ori 2.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that looked amazing.
And they presented it perfectly, too.
Yeah, I mean, they had the series composer playing the piano for the trailer, which was really, you know, props to Microsoft for setting that up. You know, definitely have style points there.
Yeah,
I could tell that's
style
what it was.
Matter.
I could tell that's what it was when he started playing.
Yeah.
Because that was very much Ori music.
Yeah.
I can't believe I took that point in time to run the bathroom.
God damn it.
Not in this break game.
No.
You missed really seeing an owl that was really sad about, I don't know if it was parents or other owls or whatever was going on in the background.
Yeah, it was a very sad owl.
Yeah.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I need to get that game because Ori is amazing and I like more of it. And then they close the show off with the final first look. Well, first look. BioWare's Anthem. EA showed a little bit of that yesterday. Feels like last week, but no, it was yesterday. Yeah. But now we saw a whole heck of a lot more. Javelin suits with jetpacks, different class bases, in a sci-fi post-apoc type world. It looks looks good. I'm not gonna lie. Really does look cool.
The environment looks stunning.
Yeah.
As somebody that plays a lot of Destiny, that very much was reminiscent of Destiny, but with some key differences, like obviously the flying and the swimming are things that you can do.
Yeah.
That's not in Destiny. I guess they have 4-player parties instead of 3. It seemed like they said 3 early on.
It was 4.
Yeah, it was 4.
Yeah, it was 4 at the end. Like, you can open up loot boxes, like, right away.
Yeah.
So, like, when you pick up loot that would be just engrams that you pick up on Destiny, you can sort of do the weird, like, loot box animation right there, which seems, like, distracting and might get old if you can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Just have, like, a third of the screen dedicated to this loot box animation.
Fuck.
Yeah. Early days, so that's the kind of stuff that will probably
that might
end up
just
changing.
Be a trailer thing.
Yeah, but
emphasis. They do that.
Yeah, it looked really good. Not gonna lie, not my kind of game, but you seem to.
I'm not a BioWare guy, but I was feeling this.
Yeah,
I mean, there's plenty of loot for you, Phil.
Yeah,
every game's gonna have loot at this point.
Yeah, I need to make
Path of Exile. You got. Anthem. What else in here? Add loot. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. All of the
loot. More loot.
All of the loot, all of the time.
I wonder if Danrod tried running onto the stage and started handing them Benjamins.
I don't know. Doubt it.
He gets really into those.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's out next year.
Yeah, next year.
I think Ori is next year, too. I think it's early 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed.
Boxes, take my money.
Yeah, they showed a couple of games that we won't see this year, but they're not so far off into 2018 that it really annoyed me. So
yeah.
And besides, there were way more than enough games that were coming out this year that I think they could afford to to show a few that were further out.
Cuphead's in September.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like anything that they showed was really a violation of the one-year rule.
Yeah.
We'll be playing these games by E3 next year.
Yes.
And that's really what matters.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't much first party, was there?
Other than...
I think it's Forza, Crackdown, Sea of Thieves, Ori, State of Decay 2.
That's enough.
Like, yeah. That was it.
Yeah, that's yeah, a good fun. Stable of games.
Yep.
Yeah, plus, though we kind of knew all those before.
Yeah, and Minecraft. Yeah. That's
for some new Microsoft first-party stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minecraft.
Yep.
And, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Well, that game's on enough platforms. It's kind of a weird thing of calling it first-party.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like party.
Yeah.
They also announced support for 4K support for some of their existing games. KI is getting a 4K patch. Gears of War
that
4.
That is going to look magnificent.
Yeah. Forza Horizon 3 is also getting a 4K patch. And Halo Wars 2. I think there was one other that I can't recall.
Yeah, I missed it, and I don't think the Xbox account is saying it either.
Yeah.
Weirdly, Microsoft's media, social media stuff is
slower
completely
than
silent on details for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Yep.
Looking on their Twitter and their Xbox Wire stuff, there's not much details there.
Yeah.
It's like, that's your whole point, is you offer the details for people that missed it.
Yeah.
Were they basically just saying that Assassin's Creed and Forza were the only things that happened?
So far, yeah. That's all that's happened.
So, whoops.
That's all the news articles they have is on those.
Yep.
I think they need to hire a new community manager.
Or a server admin, because I think maybe their media server blew up. So, which is totally understandable during E3 times. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't even chat on Mixer because it just kept disconnecting me for no apparent reason. So.
Yeah.
But the stream itself was great.
Yeah, there's a bunch of third-party games getting updates as well. It seemed like a lot of stuff is getting PS4 Pro updates, so seems like it'll be a lot of parity that way.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more of those kind of updates coming.
Yeah.
You know, when
now that they've got two platforms that they can support that way.
Yeah, that they can upgrade their games for, so it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, updating it for this thing, well, now they've got two more reasons to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
speaking of Mixer, it was pretty bad on the console.
Yeah.
Because I had a black bar on the bottom of the screen that couldn't be disabled.
Weird. I've never seen that.
Yeah, it was like... You can do pause, you can do the options, mute it, or get out of full screen.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it out of there. I don't know what was going on, but that was annoying.
Yeah.
Especially when they're displaying like that information, like Xbox One console exclusive. That's all in that bar. So it's like really hard. I had to pay super attention to notice that stuff.
Yeah. And I guess we'll wrap up the Xbox One briefing with... probably the announcement that got the biggest cheers.
From, it was in the news lately, so I'm glad they took steps to respond to it themselves.
Yeah, Sony was kind of poo-pooing backwards compatibility, and Microsoft just decided, you know what, screw it.
Call them out on it.
Yeah, they not only called them out on it, they've now made the Xbox One a three-generation console. Because they've just announced backwards compatibility for original Xbox games. Details on how this is going to work are non-existent.
There's Crimson Skies, that's all we know.
We'll be able to play Crimson Skies, which is good, because I still have my disc. So I'll be able to play that.
I have it.
I've got that. I've got PGR 1 and 2. So
I got Forza 1. Those.
I don't have Forza 1 for some reason. I should.
I own all the Forza games. I played maybe the whole series. The regular ones, maybe about 40 or 50 hours total.
Jeez.
Oh, no. Wow.
Well, I don't own 5 and 6. I own all of them through last gen.
Yeah. But, there are implications, though, for this kind of backwards compatibility, especially if the first game that you're calling out is Crimson Skies. Because you're remembering that that was Legacy Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Which means you're having to rebuild all of that.
Which means servers might be going back online.
That
might be
or,
just attaching them to the new servers.
Yeah, or they figure out a way to do that. Knowing Microsoft, I'm going to go with the latter. I don't think they're going to put the old legacy servers back up. I think they're just going to figure out a way to get the new ones to work. Because the original Xbox Live servers had a limit of, I think it was 100 friends that you could have, so that was annoying.
Yeah.
And this one
I thought the Xbox 360 servers had that problem, too, and they're still running.
Pretty sure they did.
That was the excuse they used for shutting the original servers down. Like, you'd be able to go above 100 on Xbox 360, but that never happened.
Which is weird. But, yeah, that's big news. Well, the Xbox, original Xbox legacy backwards compatibility.
If they put that on digital, that would be great.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Because having to go find the old discs is not going to be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I imagine
it's probably a Vince disc because I waited until the end of the Xbox 360 BC waiting for that to get it updated.
Yeah.
Seeing fucking Barbie Horse Adventures bullshit.
Barbie Horse Adventures.
Yeah.
Now they just remastered it on Xbox One, so now I don't need it.
Yep.
It's like, good job.
Yeah, enjoy for Phantom Dust. But yeah, that's kind of something that Sony does not seem to be willing to do. They do not seem to understand the legacy of their own platform, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
Do you think that was Jim Ryan's Don Matrick moment?
I think so. especially when
he said other stupid stuff, but unfortunately, the recent news has drowned out Google on that front. Trying to search Jim Ryan dumb comments. Unfortunately, it's flooded with the news stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a reason why he's doing what? I think sales, worldwide sales. He's head of that now. While his counterparts in America is running worldwide studios.
Yep.
So he didn't get exactly much of a bump.
Nope.
When they started unifying all the worldwide studios.
Yeah. So that was Microsoft.
More diminishing returns seem imminent.
Yeah. In a nutshell, anyway. Overall, I think they had a really, really strong showing this year.
This is how you win E3.
Yeah, you focus on what you're good at, and that's games. And when you see an opportunity to stick it to your competition, you do so. Even if it does take a lot of engineering to pull it off. they gave a number. I think it was like 50% of all Xbox One users have played a backwards compatibility title.
Oh,
that's a big number.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
Yeah. Okay, so there's probably a little bit of fuzzy math there because they didn't mention how long people were playing them.
Rare replay on that.
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it.
PC versions of some of those games.
Yeah.
Or you have to actually install it. some of them just so it can do that.
Yeah.
So that might be a big thing there.
Yeah. So that probably has helped. Anybody who has bought Rare Replay has shown those.
So, yeah, you get double versions of some of those games.
You do. Actually, all of the 360 ones you get doubled, which is really annoying because you have to look
which
at the banner
the one
to
I
decide.
To
yeah, the one that doesn't say Rare Replay if you want to install it without installing all the other stuff. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very pleased with Microsoft. They did not show Project Gotham 5, unfortunately.
Sadly.
We didn't see that. We didn't see a surprise Ridge Racer announcement saying Ridge Racer is now Xbox exclusive, which would have been
cool.
That
would have been interesting.
Yeah, but that didn't happen either. But overall, very, very pleased. They did what they had to do. They went in and they swung for the fences and hit.
I think they washed off the first half of this year.
Yeah.
They started it off real rough, but they took advantage of every opportunity they were given and... Yeah, I feel pretty damn good about being an Xbox One owner right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings us to Sony and their press conference tomorrow, which they got some splaining to do.
Maybe not explaining, but at the very least, they've got some work to do.
Yeah.
They got their work cut out for them.
Yeah. I'm wondering who leaked the numbers to Ars Technica? So, because I think they were probably trolling.
Gamer tags.
Yeah.
So they were specifically going through each gamer tag, looking at what they had played.
Yeah.
But I think it was also before the Call of Duty announcement.
Yeah. Well, so no, because they mentioned all the Call of Duties. They were those were the most.
I mean, the Black Ops.
Mm. Yeah, those were mentioned.
I don't know.
So
that's what I've seen people mention.
Yeah, still, from 2% to 50% is a big change.
Well, the 2% was amount of
like
time.
A random sampling of it.
Yeah.
And then 50% is number of players who have played backward compatibility. So
yeah,
that could be
there is some three
accounts on the same system, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some fuzzing going on there.
I might have had two accounts on mine that tried one at least.
Yeah. So yeah, so Sony will either acknowledge it or just completely ignore it, which would probably be a really bad thing to do. But that's the way Sony's been acting lately. I think that's probably the way that they're going to go.
Just head in the sand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as to the games, well, we're going to see Call of Duty over there since Sony's got the exclusives for DLCs on that. So they'll show COD WW2 or whatever it's going to end up being called. If that's the actual name of it, that's really dumb.
I think that's the name. Yeah.
That's... Well, I thought that was just a working title. Jesus Christ, guys. Like, oh. Have some originality. Oh, wait.
What's in this game? It's World War II. Yeah, it's the name.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll see Spider-Man. That game,
I'm pretty sure we'll see Spider-Man.
Yeah, we're going to see God of War.
God of War, that's out this year.
Spider-Man is on the side of a building.
Yeah. Gran Turismo needs to be released very soon.
Gran Turismo. Like Star Wars Battlefront 2, we're going to see...
More
campaign
of,
stuff.
Yes. Yeah, campaign stuff. Destiny 2, I expect to probably see more of that.
What else?
I still get heartburn over this whole aspect of E3 where press conference time gets put toward pushing non-exclusive third parties. That just bothers me on a really fundamental level.
Yeah. But,
if you don't, then... You put the narrative that they aren't getting it.
Yeah.
In a sense, like not showing this being touched by your platform. Like they put DBZ, which we probably would not have thought that would become to Xbox One because it's a Japanese game.
Yeah.
Unless they showed it here.
Well, a lot of those have been multi-platform.
Yeah.
Some of them from Namco. I think One Piece is exclusive to PlayStation. But Naruto isn't.
Yeah.
It's weird. Even though it's like all anime games, like not all of them are coming to both.
Yeah.
But this DBZ game is
going
coming
to Xbox. Yeah.
I guess because it's Team Red as well.
Yeah.
Team Red have not been very supportive of the Xbox.
Like, nope.
To say the least.
Yeah. I wonder how big of a check Microsoft had to write.
I didn't think about that until now. But yeah, I forget, it's Team Red, so they like their PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I need to go through, is just go through all these games and try and figure out which ones are first party, which ones are third party, which ones are indie, which one's exclusive, which one's not. There's so much shit between all of them, I kind of sort it all out, because it's just a big jumble in my head right now.
Oh, you and me both.
And, okay, which is where... Is this one the 4K one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is this coming out on that or that other thing?
We need cheat sheets.
Yep, we really do.
Yeah, this is where, you know, news on Xbox or news.xbox.com would be nice.
Yeah.
No, but, there's nothing there.
Nothing there. Nope. You're not going to find it there. So, what else? Do you think we see a handheld at Sony?
I think the odds are about 50-50.
Yeah.
I think it's 100% no.
Yeah. We got one no, one 50-50.
One. I don't know. I really don't. I kind of don't care.
Okay.
<That's shitty. laughs> I've never been a big adopter of Sony's handhelds. Just because, I don't know, I was just way too into the Nintendo shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at the shit that I like to play.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, no Animal Crossing, no sell.
Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, Sony is, they're the market leader right now. And
yet, anytime I record RPGs off of my PlayStation Vita TV.
Well, yes, but I don't make the time to play these.
Yeah.
I want to play RPGs, but yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't make the time.
Yeah. What you need is a PlayStation Vita TV that you can take with you. Oh, wait, that exists.
Oh, it's called a PlayStation Vita.
Yeah. Well, I know. I can hear for someone who wants one.
Yep. I'm pretty sure they're going to be very cheap very soon. So
yeah, probably. Yeah,
keep checking those Goodwills.
Well, just make sure to get a good memory card when you can.
Yeah, because those are going to be expensive. And
I want to get a couple of 64s before they're impossible to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we have any other thoughts on Sony, other than the fact that they've got it to do at this point?
I still think they can get away with a by the numbers Sony conference, but by the numbers, I don't mean anything like last year. I think they have to really come out and show the full strength of the PlayStation software lineup.
Yeah. I guess what we're saying is no live music God of War interstitials, basically. We don't really need that in their press conferences. Once when you're introducing a game like Ori, it makes sense. But every 10 or 15 minutes does kind of get a little irritating.
I think the entire game industry gets one of those per E3.
Yeah.
Microsoft used it.
Yep. Microsoft used it.
Yeah, I think we'll see a good bit of VR stuff there, which will definitely contrast with Xbox, where they talked up a lot of this thing called high-fidelity VR for the Xbox One Scorpio. And at the last minute said, nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
just
not until next year.
Kind of killed half of the reason they made for that increase in power. Besides also true 4K.
Is where they wanted to go, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, this would be great for high-fidelity VR. Like, say, Fallout 4 VR.
Yeah, and we have Bethesda later on to find out if that actually happens.
Yeah.
So.
At least on Xbox, there's no VR, at least until 2018.
Yeah.
So it lets the other three main platforms have more time to grow and get bigger.
Well, they probably just decided it wasn't the right time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're building out the Xbox holographic interface, so that's going to work across platforms. So,
yeah
it's, everything in its own time, I think. Would you really want them to announce both a console and a VR headset at the same time? Because that would,
I like to have a.
Well, if I made $30 an hour,
for this platform,
a lot of options.
Because you're announcing a $500 platform. Now you're just saying, oh, it's just for prettier games.
Yeah, instead of announcing an $800 platform for VR.
You get the VR as an added thing that you can get.
Yeah.
Still be $500 just for the games, but
accessories.
You have an option of going for VR if you want to go that full direction. Seemed like a decent amount of people were very interested in for this because they have it in their mind of, oh, the current headsets are too low res.
Hmm.
Even though having used a PSVR for nearly a year at this point, it's pretty fine.
Yeah.
I can definitely see there being improvements, but for first out of the gate, it's still really good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing more cool stuff out of VR in this one, unless of the supposed Final Fantasy 15 VR thing that never came to be.
Yeah.
That was just Perv Simulator.
Perv Simulator 2016.
Yeah.
And
just hang out in this car.
I wonder if that's what Naoki Yoshida was joking about.
Probably.
When he made that Mikote Paradise joke.
Yeah. But yeah, so
that would be fantastic if he was taking a shot at an in-house studio.
Yeah, could be. But so there's Sony, what we think. So far, we won't know until tomorrow, because that's when they'll have their event. Tomorrow night, along with Nintendo. We should probably speculate on them at this point, because, they're going to have a Direct. They've got a crap ton of floor space this year, but no actual, keynote, so to speak.
Well, the direct is their keynote.
Yeah, but it's not really the same because it's pre-recorded.
It just keeps Rich from creeping people out.
Yeah. Still, Kimishima does not have any business presenting anything.
Ever.
So we should probably maybe see more details about the Switch Online service, hopefully.
I don't think so.
No,
they already announced that stuff
next year. I think we'll hear about
it last week or so.
They're going to make it a focal point.
Yeah. And then there's Kimishima's vision for the company. What exactly that is?
Well, no, after their presser, all we really know for sure is that his Nintendo is going to have an identity Tuesday night. There will be an agenda. There will be sort of a philosophy that he's going to be building Nintendo around. And, you know, his first console launch as CEO is now behind us, and we can start looking ahead to what he's going to make of it.
Yeah. Well, you really just need to look no further than, you know, the few games that Nintendo has put out already. You've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, arguably probably one of the best system games on that system. I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's
probably not
a really, really excellent game. That's, you know, an example of a port from an old system done right, brought to the next generation. The other example that I'd cite would be ARMS, which is getting amazing reviews.
Yeah.
And, and this is the kind of game that Nintendo hasn't really made in a while.
No.
It's basically one of those games that really brings back Nintendo hard.
Yeah.
Because you get into that game, there's no tutorial. It's just figure it out yourself.
Well, there is a tutorial.
It's like, fuck you, get good.
Yeah, I played that when they had the beta.
Yeah, I mean, no,
it's where you just show you the controls. And
yeah, that's pretty much all it does. It just
say, go fuck people up.
Yeah, that's it. It doesn't give you, like, all the mechanic rundowns. It's just, this is how you move things around. This is how you fight. Okay, go. Have fun.
Be does ready it feel to get as virtual on as it looks?
For the most part, yeah. You're very much sort of locking on to people, throwing out your arms for whatever attack they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's sort of a light punch or spread shot punch or one of the heavy ones that will just break through other lighter arms that are coming at you. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a good way of just potentially either knocking away attacks or diverting them enough to be able to dodge them more easily.
Mm-hmm.
And especially they got a couple of arenas that are kind of more closed quarters. So the one's like in a science lab with these big vats of green goo, and your attacks, if you're locked onto somebody that's hiding behind one, you'll just hit that, not hit them. And so then there gets to be this whole space situation where you're trying to get into a good spot to be able to throw an attack and hope they don't, you know, dodge it behind one of these vats, or you just try and break it just to get rid of the barrier. Things like that. So there's a lot of like physical space. Like one of the arenas you've probably seen has like bumpers on the outside.
I don't remember any of the arenas because I haven't been following this game too closely. But what I have seen of it just really reminded me of Virtual On, so that's why I asked.
Yeah. There's like one that is one of the ones they first showed has like pinball style bumpers around the edges. And so you can jump backwards onto that. That'll launch you up into the air. And you can, if you're a character has like a double jump, you can double jump off of that or dash around, get around pretty quickly without it being sort of like a mech style movement speed. It's more kind of a fighter kind of movement speed where you're more just doing quick dashes around or moving forward or backward, whatnot.
Hmm. Interesting.
Seems like it could be a good fighting game for people that maybe don't play a ton of them.
Well, because it's not really a true fighting game. Is
no, but I think it has a lot of mechanics similar to it that will make it a lot more of a casual game. And maybe it'll have enough that people that are well into fighting games will get really into it, especially depending on how you build out your loadouts for the different types of arms you want to bring with you into battles.
Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of originality is what, you know, Nintendo has been, you know, they've been known for, but I think that's been absent for a while. We've seen it come back with Splatoon and now ARMS. Yeah, but I think they're in a good spot if they can just, you know, keep the momentum going.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting show, that's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that first direct is supposed to be 30 minutes long, so not too long.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they can announce in
what
that much
they
span.
What can do in 30 minutes that...
Well, not another Zelda, because they've already just done that.
Yeah.
So it'll be Mario will be a big part of that.
Yeah, because that's going to be coming out later this year.
Doing a long demo of that.
And they'll probably let Treehouse do that.
Yeah. Get more game announcements.
The Treehouse streams are always pretty good.
Yeah.
Hopefully hear more about an expanded OS.
Yeah.
Sort of bring in the video capture stuff they were talking about a while back.
Yes.
It needs it.
Expand the eShop a bit. And just make the platform bigger than it is currently.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's Nintendo. They got... I want them to announce some new IP. Don't know what it's going to be, but hopefully it'll get a little bit more serious in that regard. Splatoon was a good start last year. ARMS is a nice start this year. But, yeah, they need to keep that going. They can't fall into the same rut of redoing all of their games over and over again.
That being said, I have to put this one out here. This has been a little bit controversial. Star Fox Zero. What if that gets in on the Wii U evacuation plan?
Well, yeah, would need to be reworked quite a bit to get that thing to play properly.
But if they did it, if they put in the work.
I'd be okay with that if they did it. Because, that game was basically sunk by its controls.
Yeah. So if they don't, if they take those off the table and just port it as a straight up Star Fox game to the Switch.
Yeah. There's no second screen to worry about, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be pretty good. So, yeah, that's it for our day one wrap-up, or should I say day zero wrap-up, technically, when you really consider it, because the show hasn't even started yet. Tomorrow is the official first day, and, that's going to be a lot of fun going forward. So, so I think we'll call it a night. I need to edit this show.
Night from podcasting. We've still got the Bethesda show to
At midnight my time, so that's going to be fun. But, so.
That's why we have caffeine.
Yes. I have Coke in the fridge. I'm good. So, with that, I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we'll see you tomorrow.